This is an Enterprise Time Security Podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Tim Picard, CMO of Egress Software.
Hi, Ian. Very nice to be here. Egress is a UK cybersecurity company. We are circa $20 million in annual recurring revenues now. Our space is really around the management and secure transfer of unstructured data. All employees have on their hard drives, they send through email, they have video files, all of that type of data we help to manage and secure. It's very difficult for organizations to get a sense of how much data they've got out there. Gartner estimate that they're about 80% of corporate data is unstructured. So it's a big, big problem for most organizations and how to manage that.
Sending data around has always been an issue. Now, if we go back to the late 90s, early 2000s, we saw the arrival of systems to track where data was going. We saw content management systems start to put digital fingerprints on files. We're still really no further down the line to having a good view on this, are we?
There are lots of technologies that organizations use to help to protect elements of all of this. One of the things that we're seeing now is the breakdown of the perimeter. Use of cloud technologies, use of cloud storage, put cloud in front of most things. And then the traditional perimeter that we have become to understand and harden and help to use to protect corporate data, that starts to disappear. The user is now effectively their own perimeter, which makes things a little bit more difficult, actually, because, as we all know, users do unintentional things. Sometimes they do bad things intentionally, of course. But it's now at the user level, we believe, that we need to start protecting data and organizations.
How do you educate the users as part of this? Because you say it's often unintentional. The user has a new phone, they get a new laptop, they have a new tablet. It comes with some cloud services. They want to take something going to work at home, or they want to send it to somebody. They don't necessarily think twice about doing it. Also, that enterprise system we have is complicated.
That is exactly the philosophy that we're starting to deploy within Egress Software. Understanding that users are under pressure. We all have to work harder these days, and we have to work with greater volumes of data, a lot of it very sensitive data. Making life easier for the user, providing guide rails, if you like, around how users manage their information flows. Let me give you an example of that. We provide a service that allows you to send emails, but it learns from the historical emails that you've been sending. It's an AI solution, builds up a picture of your normal behavior. When you do something out of the ordinary, we will flag that. Now, that could be adding Michael to a list of names that I send emails to, but I don't normally add Michael to. I'm prompted, do you really want to include Michael as this? And that might be an autocomplete problem, that it's the wrong Michael. We've all suffered from that. But these can have fairly serious consequences now. We can flag that and say, this is the guide rails that we're putting around the user that says, actually, you're doing something that's a little bit out of the ordinary here. Do you really want to do that?
How do you balance that level of intrusion? We all know the danger of putting checkboxes in for users to say yes, no, yes, no. Ultimately, they'll just click yes, 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 yes all the way down the line because it interferes with what they want to do and they stop reading them.
It depends how intrusive it becomes. If it's every email that pops up and says, do you want to check all of these? Actually, some organizations want that, which, as you say, quite surprising. But we do have customers that want their users to check all of the names off to make sure that they are the ones that they wanted to send to. But I think your question is about making this unobtrusive, and therefore it is something that becomes useful to the user in the sense that I'm not having to do this every time, but when it does come up, it's an error. 9 times out of 10, the system's got it right, and it's flagged something that's actually going to prevent me doing something stupid. Now, at that point, the software becomes not intrusive, but actually helpful. That's the kind of blend that we're trying to go for, to try and make something. Users see a lot of security technologies as it just gets in the way. It just makes my job harder. We don't want to do that. We don't want to go down that road. We want to use new technologies to help to provide those guide rails that actually users go, you know what, actually that is making my life easier.
But with all of that, then comes false positives. One of the problems with false positives is that they're often driven by rule-based systems that look at something and it's an empirical yes, no. Does this look right? Does this look wrong? With AI-based systems, there's an opportunity to add much more context in there. I might be adding Michael into an email chain, but actually I've been doing another bunch of email chains with Michael about similar projects. So suddenly this doesn't look so unusual. How do we expand the awareness of the system, reduce the false positives, and more importantly, give the user more faith?
there's some subtlety in here that Michael could be part of this, but potentially this is an error. That is part of that whole learning. It's about sensitivity, ultimately. So how sensitive do I want to make this system? You can make it more or less sensitive, depending on how you want to treat your users, ultimately. We either end up giving false positives, or we end up letting stuff through. That sensitivity level is very hard to do.
One of the nightmares for data management has been the introduction of collaboration. Everywhere we look today, we're told we need to be a much more collaborative society, in a much more collaborative workplace. There are no borders, it means people can work from home. But one thing we discovered with early collaboration systems is that people have a tendency to create a library. And any document that they think is appropriate to the conversation, they drop in there without necessarily knowing if it's appropriate that all these other people should see those documents. How do we marry that user perspective with actually the issue of security and what should be allowed? And some of this may even require those people to be on an NDA or some other form of list.
That's a challenging problem and is a user-based problem. Over time, we will be able to give more guide rails around that in the sense of we can prompt, should this content be shared with these people? We don't do that today, but that's the direction that we're headed in, to give that level of protection to the sensitive information, to the individuals that may be part of that. Directionally, that's something that you will see in the future. It's not necessarily something that we do today. But that requires some level of understanding around, A, the sensitivity of the data that's in the documents, and B, the level of approval that the people in that collaborative environment have. In other words, do they have the necessary approval to view that content? And I don't think we're far off seeing that sort of technology and that kind of level of sophistication in the collaboration tools that we're looking at.
When we've tried to crack down on this on enterprise-owned tools, users have just gone and gained access to cloud services outside of the enterprise control. And it's very difficult for a lot of enterprises to then know what is being shared correctly or incorrectly. Part of that is because often they don't know from those documents what is sensitive, what isn't. You get the overclassification, where you end up with 5, 6, 7, 8 levels of security classification on documents. Or you get the massive underclassification. It's sensitive or it's not sensitive. For most companies, it's somewhere in between. But where do they start?
It's a great question. That is a challenge. We do help with that. Our support for that comes around the collaborative side and also content that may be held within email. We do discovery around information that's stored. For example, if we're looking for PII data or if we're looking for strings of data that are identifiable, we can actually do a discovery exercise and we can classify that within user-defined boundaries. You might want to start off doing that relatively simply and then move the sophistication levels and the depth of that classification over time. But you're absolutely right. It is a massive challenge, and most organizations have no real handle on the volumes of data that they store and the sensitivity levels of that data. Stage one is really trying to understand what we have today and to classify it. And stage two is, how do we manage that situation going forwards? Stage two of our solution says, if I create a document, if I create a PowerPoint file, if I create some form of record, then that will automatically, if I don't do it manually, it will automatically get classified based on the content that's contained within that. So you've got stage one of let's figure out what we've got, and stage two is let's auto classify as we go forward.
Let's look at a case in point where we have a complex problem of internal secrecy versus sharing. If I look at the number of solicitor firms that I come across on a regular basis, they're beginning to adopt document management systems. Partly to reduce the paper and the costs internally, but partly because it makes it easier to share data securely with their clients and also internally. But we're now seeing people like the Crown Prosecution Service and the Ministry of Justice adopting systems as well, where data will be shared when things go to court. It creates quite a challenge here because there'll be data, if you're the defence, that you have no legal obligation to share with the prosecution. And when you're sharing that data, you need to make sure it doesn't go to the wrong person. If that's left to the individual who's doing the sharing, often just a clerk at the law firm, mistakes can happen. How do we programmatically begin to understand this and build this into a solution? Because, of course, we have the opposite when we look at the CPS. They have to share everything.
Again, interesting challenge. We actually work with the Crown Prosecution Service around managing evidential data. They have come at it from a slightly different perspective in terms of the problem that they're trying to solve. And the problem they're trying to solve is they were getting 1,000 CDs a day. And that is an unmanageable number. All of these contain evidence. They're all sensitive, some very sensitive. They had to classify and document and share in a secure environment. In other words, as you say, the prosecuting attorney, or you know, or I'm the defending attorney, and I want access to that evidence. Now, as the Crown Court Prosecution Service, I need to make sure that I know who I've sent data to, and I have to do it securely. In other words, it has to be packaged up, it has to be signed for, and it was costing a significant amount of money to manage that environment. Using secure collaborative technology, they're now able to give access to that data to the organisations or individuals that need it, and they can manage that electronically. In other words, I can say, I have given Ian access, and I know that he's accessed it. I can see all of that, and it's all automatically recorded. So this is a huge step forward in terms of secure collaboration in a very sensitive environment. Now, the question that you asked was, how do I manage that if I'm at the legal services end of that equation in terms of the information that I'm sharing? And again, that's probably a directional thing in terms of the sophistication of the technology, looking at the content that is being shared and understanding whether that's something that should be shared or not. And I think that's probably in the future, not necessarily today. It comes back to human error, and there is still plenty of opportunity for human error. I mean, it is still the major cause of data breaches. It's something like 6 or 7 times higher than criminal data theft is data breach through human error. It's still the major part of what we're doing. And the use cases that you're referring to are pretty sophisticated. We believe that we're covering probably 50 to 60% of use cases today with the technology that we have. You're up the pyramid somewhere in terms of the level of sophistication, which we're moving towards.
One of the advantages of being able to put controls on a document is to know where it's gone. What information do you gather when a document is sent out?
We would gather the sender, who it's sent to, obviously, the security controls that have been put around that. That might be the ability to not print that document, not to forward it, security controls that mean that the confidentiality of that document are kept in the way that they were intended by the sender. It's that level of information that we keep.
If I think about supply chain, we often share a lot of information with partners, some of it commercially sensitive. That means it sits on multiple systems. With digital transformation, we're seeing much tighter integration with people's systems. When you look at the customer base, how many of your customers have started to say, okay, we are using this solution to protect data? You're a partner or you're a supplier. We want to make sure that when we hand that information to you, it is equally protected. Are they saying to people, you must employ either your system or a comparable system? Or has that not quite reached that level of data control?
I'd say it hadn't necessarily reached that level of data control yet, although I suspect that may be something that's on the radar for certain of our customers. There are environments where two systems collide, or there are intersections between two types of security technologies. We have environments, or we have situations, where we are working closely with other organizations to be able to transfer data across technologies and to help some very large organizations, some institutions, help to manage that in a more seamless way, but also to manage the security as well.
Encryption, whether it be at rest or in transit, are key parts to what we do when we talk about document protection. Companies at the moment are torn by the amount of encryption that comes in. They buy an encryption for their systems. Some things then come along with their own types of encryption on top, and it becomes very difficult for them to know exactly what's going on inside those encrypted files. What do you provide, and how do you help them understand when a file that's been encrypted is being moved, that it's a valid move, not just hidden in encryption?
Again, that's a subtlety around technology and encryption. It's probably been quite difficult to resolve. Where we manage the keys and where we have access to, or we can do the decryption and we can check, then obviously we're in control. Where those keys are managed elsewhere, and this is the problem with all encryption technology, it is a sealed document at that point, and it's very difficult to do that assessment. We integrate with a lot of DLP vendors, so we can decrypt at the boundary. They can do the inspection at that point, and we can re-encrypt at that point. We do have integration with a lot of DLP vendors to help with that type of environment. But as you say, when two systems collide and they're using different encryption technologies or different encryption keys, then it becomes quite difficult to do that inspection.
Understanding what's happening to your data has been an issue around this industry for a long time, but it's only the GDPR that's brought it into focus for many companies, arguably far too late. What do you see now as driving innovation over the next year?
Your observation is absolutely correct, and we have seen that in the course of this year, and the just heightened awareness about data, about sensitive data, about where it's going and who has access to it. That's not done yet, by the way. Although we've seen a huge spike in interest and organisations, large and small, acquiring the technology, it's not done. So there's still a long way to go with protecting data within those organizations. The important thing is that organizations do get that understanding of where their data is going and how they're using that data. And we come back to the beginning of the conversation, really, in the sense that we need to put a lot of that control around the user and around them making better decisions, because that's where a lot of data breaches occur, by error or maliciously, and most of it's by error, actually. That's where we'll see more focus, certainly from egress software, we'll see more focus in those guide rails around the user and giving them the ability to be able to make better decisions about where that sensitive data is going, who's receiving it, and the level of security that they put around it, making it very easy for them to do that.
From my side, I'd like to think we're going to see a lot more user education, but I'm not convinced by that. Tim, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure.